Welcome back to Through the Word, Exodus 38. Today, as we get closer and closer to seeing the tabernacle constructed. Today, it's a construction of the outer courtyard with two essentials for worship. Do not approach God without these. Let's dive in at verse 1. They built the altar of burnt offering of acacia wood, 3 cubits high. It was square, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. They made a horn at each of the 4 corners so that the horns and the altar were of one piece, and they overlaid the altar with bronze.
So our carpenters and craftsmen are hard at work, turning God's blueprints for Moses into a real tabernacle, which includes 2 areas, inside the tent and outside in the courtyard. In chapter 37, the furnishings were constructed for inside. Today, we go out to the courtyard. Now, as we read, I want you to picture it going up. The courtyard is about the size of half an American football field, with linen curtains all around. The entrance curtain is on the east end, one of the 2 shorter linen walls. And as you walk in, the first object you see as you enter the large courtyard is the altar of burnt offering. That means fire and meat. The altar is about 5 feet tall and 7 feet square on top. And the placement here is key. For an Israelite entering the tabernacle area, approaching the very presence of God, the first thing you encounter is an altar. Nobody walks straight to the tent of God's presence. To approach God, a sacrifice must be made to atone for your sins. For us today, as we approach God, we begin at the cross, where Jesus was sacrificed for our sins. Hebrews reminds us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins.
The altar has 4 horn-shaped projections coming from the 4 corners, covered with bronze, just as the rest of the altar. Not much description is given for the 4 corners here, nor is their purpose discussed. But if we look elsewhere in the Old Testament, we see how the horns are seen by the Israelites. The altar will become a place for refuge for fugitives. If you catch hold of the horns, you can plead for asylum. We will see this several times in the Old Testament, including 1 Kings, where Adonijah and Joab both run to the tabernacle and grasp the horns for asylum.
That's a powerful picture for us as well. When we come to the cross and take hold of salvation, we are saved from wrath, like grasping the horns of the altar. We have forgiveness and freedom in Christ. And notice again the materials for this one. Acacia wood, once again, representing Jesus' humanity, but this time overlaid not with gold, but bronze. Bronze is the metal of judgment. God judges our sins at the altar, and Jesus' sacrifice makes atonement. We are justified, made right with God, by faith. And yet, in our salvation journey, justification is only the first step. Our sins are forgiven at the altar, but our journey to God is just beginning.
After passing the altar of burnt offering, moving further into the courtyard toward the tent, the second thing you encounter as you approach God's presence is the bronze basin. Verse 8. They made the bronze basin and its bronze stand from the mirrors of the women who served at the entrance of the tent of meeting.
The bronze basin, or laver, will be filled with water and used by the priests for washing clean before approaching God. Sacrifices will be messy, and God provides a way for the priests to wash clean before entering the tabernacle. Interestingly, the basin is also made of bronze, but in this case, it is bronze donated for the project by women who served at the tent's entrance. These women give up their mirrors, which at this time are made of finely burnished bronze, and a prized possession of great value. It's their means of seeing themselves and making themselves outwardly beautiful. Yet, they sacrificed it for God in order to provide this basin for God's cleansing. And as the priest approaches the basin to scoop water from it to cleanse himself, he will see his reflection as he washes away the dirt and filth. And that is a powerful picture for us.
As the construction continues, let's follow one of the craftsmen as they survey the progress and examine the blueprints. The altar's been assembled and overlaid in bronze. Now moving forward toward the tent of meeting, you stop at the bronze laver. what will this be for? For cleansing. But as you look down into the laver, the mirror reflects. You see the dirt on your face. Living in camp is a dirty place. Later, when the tabernacle is in place, the priest will stand over this very basin and see upon himself the dirt of the world and the blood of the sacrifice. So much to clean. It's a humbling moment. I am temporarily clean by this one sacrifice, but I'm not yet holy. The washing will provide a pause, a time of introspection before the Lord, a time to realize and recognize who I am before God. I need a deeper cleansing. But even more than that, I need to be made holy. This sacrifice buys me time. It keeps me from being cast out of the camp. But I need something more.
This is the need for Jesus that is felt all throughout the Old Testament. The need for the Savior, the Messiah, the one who will rescue us from sin and death. He is glimpsed in the Old Testament, where our need for him is real. It is felt staring down at your reflection in that pool, where you know your need to be clean, but you still can't enter the presence of God. If only there were someone who could not just make you clean, but make you holy. This is how Jesus takes our salvation deeper, from justification to sanctification. The Holy Spirit comes upon us and begins a work of deep cleaning. Yet back here at camp, as each craftsman sees their reflection one last time before the laver is ready, all of that is just a glimmer.
After building these two items, work begins on the courtyard proper. Verses 9 through 20 give the description of the courtyard. Finely twisted linen is woven into curtains that wrap around the entirety of the courtyard. The curtains are held up by silver hooks onto posts with bronze bases.
The curtains are held between these posts and are stretched in a large rectangle all the way around the courtyard. The longer north and south walls are 100 cubits, about 150 feet or 50 meters, with 20 posts holding the curtains posted every 2.5 meters. The east and west walls are 50 cubits or about 75 feet, 25 meters, with 10 posts each. So the purpose of the curtains is to keep people out. As you approach, you will see this white linen fence all the way around. That might seem odd for God to create a barrier around himself if he wants his people to draw near. But notice, on the east end, there is one entrance. Verse 18, the curtain for the entrance to the courtyard was made of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer.
Verse 21 begins a list of all the materials gathered for the construction of the tabernacle. A Levite named Ithamar is placed in charge of collecting and recording the items given to the construction of the tabernacle. And man, this guy will be busy.
The donated gold weighs over 2,000 pounds, placing its value today at somewhere near $60 million U.S. This gold is given as a free will offering. There's no compulsion with the offering of gold. This is given purely out of worship to the Lord.
The silver weighs in at over 7,000 pounds, valued at over $2 million U.S. According to verse 26, this silver is collected as part of the census of fighting men. Back in chapter 30, guidelines were put in place to prevent the Israelites from relying on their own strength. Anytime a census is taken, every fighting age man will be required to pay a tax of a half shekel as an atonement tax. By paying the tax, Israel is acknowledging that they belong to the Lord and owe their lives to him.
What amazes me in this passage is the complete success of the voluntary donation effort. The Israelites spent 400 years in Egypt with generations in slavery. Yet when they left Egypt, they came out with vast wealth because the Lord moved the hearts of their former masters. Yet though they were given wealth, they don't hoard it. They're generous. They fulfill every need for the tabernacle and then some. The tabernacle is built just as it should be. There are no corners cut, no substitutions. God is setting them right with himself, and it shows in how they give back to him. They give not to earn favor, but simply out of a desire to worship him in gratitude for their freedom.
That's it for today. Go read Exodus 38 and join us next time as we see the priest's garments created with all their beauty.
And our salvation journey is far from complete. We've seen two legs of the journey thus far. Part 3 is yet to come. Stay with us as the book of Exodus draws to its final chapters.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.